Well, hello again. Tis myself, Miles McKee, with the Gospel Truth Podcast. I'd like to talk today for a few moments about Jonah. And not just about Jonah and his life story, although we'll get into that. But I want to talk especially about Jonah's God. And I'm calling him the God of the Second Chance. That's what the title of this message would be if you wanted one. The God of the Second Chance. It says in Jonah, the book of Jonah, by the way, we're not going to read it all, the whole of the story. It's only, I think, four chapters. Let's see. Four chapters. Easy to read all on your own. But I'm going to take, you most of you know the story of Jonah. And I'm going to take it and show us, God willing, something about the God of the Second Chance. Now, Jonah, a lot of people hold him in disrepute and disdain. And they say, well, he was a minor prophet, wasn't he? He was the most minor of the minor prophets. And he was the disobedient servant. You know the story, how verse 1 of chapter 1, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise and go to Nineveh. That great city, oh, by the way, it was a great city, all right. The walls, they say, were 100 foot high. Oh, yeah. And you could put three chariots side by side on top of the walls and they could drive comfortably. And if you were to go from beginning to end around the city of Nineveh, around the walls, it would be a journey of 60 miles. Yeah. Go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it. For their wickedness has come up before me. My goodness, what a commission, what a job. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. How'd you run from the presence of the Lord? Sure, he's in heaven. Sure, he's in hell. If I make my bed in hell, thou art there. You can't flee from the presence of the Lord. But he went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish, and so he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with him unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. And then the mariners were afraid, and they cried every man to his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it off them. But Jonah, he was gone down into the sides of the ship, and as he lay, he was fast asleep. And the shipmaster came to him and said, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, and we perish not. And they said, every one to his fellow, come and let us cast lots, and that we may know for whose cause this evil has come upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Can't get away from the presence of the Lord. Then said they unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us, and what is thine occupation, and whence come thou, and what is your country, and what people art thou of? And he said unto them, I am a Hebrew. I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which has made the sea and the dry land. And then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, why have you done this? For the man knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then they said unto him, what shall we do unto you, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought was and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, take me, Jonah said this, take me, and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. Oh, nevertheless, the men rowed harder and harder to bring the ship to land, but they couldn't, for the sea was against them, and it was tempestuous. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done it, as it pleased you. So they took Jonah and they cast him forth into the sea. They threw him into the sea. Yep. And the sea ceased from her raging. Oh, my. The sea ceased from her raging. And then the man feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Yeah, the disobedient prophet. I hope you get time to read the remaining part of the story. It's good reading. But you know something, as I've contemplated in old Jonah, I have a lot of time for him. He was a man of God. He was a zealous man, zealous for the house of God. He knew God and he knew the ways of God. But he was a backslider. A lot of people don't have time for backsliders. I have time for backsliders because I've backslidden many times myself. Oh yeah, he was a man, Jonah was a man who was mightily used of God. And he was a man to whom God gave a second chance. God is the God of the second chance. Aye, and the third chance, and the fourth chance, and the fifth chance, on and on and on. Oh, God never gives up on his children. Somebody says, I'm divorced. I'll never be used of God again. Nonsense. Now, I'm not recommending divorce by any means at all, but face it, if you're divorced, move on. Talk to God about it. If you've done the wrong thing and everything, been the cause of it, repent. God will restore you. God will use you. Don't think you're unusable because of sin. Deal with the sin at the cross of Christ and then move on. Yeah. And so God never gives up upon us. So let's look at the story. Jonah, he's the son of Amittai, that means the truth of Jehovah. And God says to him, arise and go. He arise and he arose and fled. He's like so many Christians I know. Well, what do you mean, brother? Well, Jesus said, go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel. But do we? Oh, some do. Thank God for the some that do. But many, many Christians, they're just like Jonah. God says, go. And we say, no. No. Go ye into all the world. The scripture says, husbands, love your wives. But does every Christian do that? No, he backslides in that point. Backslides. Why? Well, we're imperfect. You know, the only perfect person who ever lived, who offered perfect obedience, his name is Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is our hope. And you can fix your faith upon him. Did you hear me? You can fix your faith upon him and be saved. Nineveh, it was the capital of Assyria. They were enemies of Israel. And Jonah didn't want to go there. Oh, why? Well, there's lots of theories about that. People say, well, Jonah really was a flake. Oh, no, he was a rebel. No. He was just a no-good, disobedient prophet. Well, I don't agree with any of those. I have a different theory. Why did he flee? He fled because of his zeal for the house of the Lord, for the people of God. What do you mean, Brother Miles? Well, he was sent to Assyria, to Nineveh in Assyria. Now, what would happen if Jonah didn't preach? Well, Assyria would be destroyed. Nineveh would be destroyed. That's what Jonah wanted. Well, why did he hate the Ninevians? And then whatever they were, the people who lived there. Did he hate them? No, he didn't hate them. But he had a zeal for the house of God. You see, what would happen if he preached and they repented? Well, God wouldn't bring judgment on them and they would grow strong. And then if they grew strong, they would probably invade Israel. So Jonah was astute and he knew the ways of God. And he knew that how God would treat Israel and how he would deal with Nineveh. Jonah was prepared to give his life so that the people of God could live. Wow, does that not sound like Jesus? Jesus gave his life. For who? For his people. He gave his life. He poured out his blood. Are you a believer? He poured out his blood for you. Sister, do you believe that? He poured out his blood for you. Brother, he poured out his blood for you. Ah, yeah, Jesus is our only hope. And so anyway, off Jonah goes, and he goes down to the port, and he finds a ship. Oh, let me tell you, the devil always has a ship waiting to take you out of the will of God. I'll say that again. The devil always has a ship waiting to take you out of the will of God. He finds a ship. And he pays the fare. Yeah. There's always a price attached to backsliding. You know, sin is a costly business. Yeah, you can't calculate it. There's an ancient legend about a wise man, and he made a beautiful chessboard, and he embedded jewels all around the squares, and the word got to the king, and he said, "I've got to see this," and he went to see it, and he was so impressed he wanted to buy it. And says, "How much do you want?" And the man who created the chessboard said, "Well, I'll tell you what, I'll give you one grain of wheat for the first square and two for the second square. Now, give me two because we're going to double this in each square." So that would mean four grains of wheat for the third square, and then eight and 16 and on and on and on. Well, the king says, "That sounds like good. That's good. How many squares are there?" 64. "Oh, yeah, I can handle that." Well, the king thought he was making a wonderful bargain. But he didn't realize that by the time you got to 20 squares, you were at half a million. 30 squares. Oh, listen, it keeps on going. 40 squares, 5.5 million. Almost impossible to calculate. Why am I telling you that story? Because sin will cost you more than you want to pay. It'll keep you longer than you want to stay. Sin is an expensive business. And so a storm comes. Where's Jonah? He's asleep. Where's the rest of the crew? Well, they're all praying. They're up on deck. They're all praying. But Jonah, he's asleep. He knew there wasn't any point in praying. This guy's a spiritual guy. He knew there wasn't any point in praying. Yeah, no show with this guy. No hypocrisy. He was real. So he goes to sleep. And his disobedience, you see, was causing the storm. So there was no point in him praying, "Oh Lord, remove the storm." Why is there a storm there, Jonah? It's because of you. So he knew that. He knew he was. No point in being a hypocrite and going and praying about it. "Oh Lord, I thank you that you deliver us." You caused it. You caused it. No point in praying. His disobedience was the cause of the storm. So there's no point in praying unless he's prepared to be obedient. Oh. Well, you know how the story goes. Chapter 2. Verse 1, Noah, well, before that, a few verses before that, Jonah eventually is thrown overboard. And in chapter 2, he makes this prayer from the belly of the whale. Oh, you say, "I don't believe in the belly of the whale." Oh, did you know I read that a couple of years back about a Japanese fisherman who fell overboard and was swallowed by a whale and lasted 3 days? This is not Christians. This is just was in the Daily Mail. It lasted. And he got set free. And we, by the way, I said the whale. The Bible doesn't say that Jonah was swallowed by a whale. It says that the Lord created a fish. Yeah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. For the Lord prepared a great fish. God created a special fish to swallow Jonah. But we'll move along. Jonah's thrown overboard. Then he gives this great prayer and it's full of scripture, and it's good to pray like that. But by the way, going back to our original point here, if you're not prepared to be obedient, what's the point in praying? If you've walked out of the will of God, you know it. You're having an illicit affair. There's no point in praying until you're saying, "Hey, Lord, forgive me in Jesus' name." And you repent. Do you hear me? Well, you know, some people spend their time memorizing the Word of God, and I think that's great. I love to try to memorize the Word of God. But if I'm living in open disobedience to the will of God, what's the point in memorizing? What's the point in memorizing? Is Jesus, let me ask you, are you prepared to be obedient to him today? Is he real to you today? Where do you stand with the Lord today? Oh, but I made a great profession of faith 20 years ago. Where are you today? As you know, I'm from Northern Ireland. Okay, and there's a town there in Northern Ireland called Ballymena. And there was a man that lived there, a Christian man. Lots of Christians in Ballymena, by the way. But 25 years earlier, he had had what he called a blessed experience with the Lord. Yep. And it's so wonderful it was that he wrote it all down in a wee booklet, and he called his book The Blessed Experience. And every time he would meet new people, he would give them his blessed experience, give them the little book. And people would come round to his house for fellowship, and he'd give them the book. Okay. The Blessed Experience book. So anyway, one night some people came round, and he said to his wife, says, "Darling, would you go upstairs to the drawer in the bedroom and bring down my blessed experience?" Bring it down from that drawer, and I'll give the folks a copy. And the woman goes up and then comes down again. "Where's my blessed experience?" She says, "The mice got into the drawer and ate your blessed experience." Oh my. Listen, what's your experience today? Do you know the Lord? Are you being obedient to him? Are you following him? Are you serving him? Are you worshiping him? Are you thanking him? Oh, isn't he worthy to be thanked and praised? Because look what he did at the cross. Isn't he wonderful? And then it says, and then spoke God. Chapter 3, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. I love that. It came the second time. What did he say? Well, he said, "Go and do what I told you to do the first time." And why not? Look, God is a God who's always willing to give us a second chance, a third chance, a fourth chance, a fifth chance to come back in to the will of God. Moses. What about him? He was content, it says. He was content to dwell with the man, but he came out of retirement. Peter, remember Peter, he disobeyed the Lord. He not disobeyed him, but he denied the Lord. Did Jesus finish with him? No, he brought him back. How did he do that? Did he speak? What words did he speak? He didn't speak any words. He brought him back with just a look. So let me ask you, have you left your first love? At what point did you leave it? Look, perhaps Jonah's zeal for the house of the Lord was greater than his love for the Lord. Oh, that's a great problem. It really is a great problem. I've met folks who are in movements of God, and they seem to have more time for the movement and the churches than for the Lord Jesus. His zeal, Jonah's zeal for the house of the Lord was greater than his love for the Lord. Jonah was zealous for something which didn't please God. Zealousness for something which God has, as he was getting ready to destroy. And so what was it that caused you to stray from the word which he gave you? Now, I have a wee word of warning. God, by the way, Yes, he's the God of the second, the third, the fourth, and on our chances. He's always working with us, always bringing us back. But I have a wee word of warning. God will not continue to speak forever. Do you remember Herod and John the Baptist? And John the Baptist would come before Herod, and John the Baptist would preach, would tell him about his sin, his wickedness. Yeah. And what did Herod eventually do with John the Baptist? He cut his head off. Yeah. And then Jesus was brought before him. Jesus and Herod together. And Herod asked him questions, and Jesus answered him not a word. Did you hear that? Jesus answered him not a word. Why? Because Herod had silenced the voice of God. The voice of God came through John the Baptist, and Herod silenced it. So Jesus answered him not a word, and in doing that, he's saying, God has nothing more to say to you. Wow. Look, God is the God of a second chance. No matter how big your mess, I don't care if you've messed up as a Christian, if you fail God, you can start again. Start again. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God wants to bring us to the place where we parted company with him. Yeah, so Jonah obeyed God, and the revival was brought to Nineveh. What an encouragement for some of us who have failed and know that God can restore us and use us mightily. I want to finish this off by saying, Jonah brought the message God had given him. He didn't speak of himself. Just think how in this day and age Jonah could have thrilled everybody if it had been this day and age. He could say, oh yes, here's Jonah's meeting. I was a rebel, I ran, I encountered storms, they threw me overboard, but I got swallowed by big fish, and God kept me alive by his power. Jonah could have told that one, but that's not the message he was sent to deliver. Likewise, we've been commissioned to bring the message of the gospel to the lost. We're not commissioned to give our testimonies. I'm sure I'm giving your testimonies helpful now and again, but some people, that's all they want to do, give their testimony. No, the gospel is not my testimony, not how bad I was and how saved I feel. No, the gospel is the good news of the doing, dying, and resurrection and exaltation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the gospel truth. Thank you so much for listening today. If spiritually I can be of help, email me, miles@milesmckee.com. Miles, that's M-I-L-E-S. You can visit our website at milesmckee.com. And we have a Wednesday Word Goes Out, gospel-packed Wednesday Word. Goes over to over 3,000 people at the moment. Get letters from literally quite across the world. And you're welcome to subscribe to it. Just drop me an email and say subscribe, and I'll subscribe you. So listen, thanks very much. If this has been a blessing to you, please forward it. If it hasn't been a blessing, just keep quiet. But please forward to your friends and family. God bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, hello again. Tis myself, Miles McKee, with the Gospel Truth Podcast. I'd like to talk today for a few moments about Jonah. And not just about Jonah and his life story, although we'll get into that. But I want to talk especially about Jonah's God. And I'm calling him the God of the second chance. That's what the title of this message would be if you wanted one. The God of the second chance. It says in Jonah, the book of Jonah, by the way, we're not going to read it all, the whole of the story. It's only, I think, four chapters. Let's see. Four chapters. Easy to read all on your own. But I'm going to take, you most of you know the story of Jonah. And I'm going to take it and show us God willing, something about the God of the second chance. Now, Jonah, a lot of people hold him in disrepute and disdain. And they say, well, he was a minor prophet, wasn't he? He was the most minor of the minor prophets. And he was the disobedient servant. You know the story, how verse 1 of chapter 1, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city. Oh, by the way, it was a great city, all right. The walls, they say, were 100 foot high. Oh, yeah. And you could put three chariots side by side on top of the walls and they could drive comfortably. And if you were to go from beginning to end around the city of Nineveh, around the walls, it would be a journey of 60 miles. Yeah. Go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. My goodness, what a commission, what a job. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. How'd you run from the presence of the Lord? Sure, he's in heaven. Sure, he's in hell. If I make my bed in hell, thou art there. You can't flee from the presence of the Lord. But he went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. And so he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with him unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. And then the mariners were afraid, and they cried every man to his god, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it off them. But Jonah, he was gone down into the sides of the ship, and as he lay, he was fast asleep. And the shipmaster came to him and said, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, and we perish not. And they said, every one to his fellow, come and let us cast lots, and that we may know for whose cause this evil has come upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. He can't get away from the presence of the Lord. Then said they unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us, and what is thine occupation, and whence come thou, and what is your country, and what people art thou of? And he said unto them, I am a Hebrew. I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which has made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid and said unto him, why have you done this? For the man knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then they said unto him, what shall we do unto you that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought was and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, take me. Jonah said this, take me and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. Oh, nevertheless, the men rowed harder and harder to bring the ship to land, but they couldn't, for the sea was against them, and it was tempestuous. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done it, as it pleased you. So they took Jonah and they cast him forth into the sea. They threw him into the sea. Yep. And the sea ceased from her raging. Oh, my, my, my. The sea ceased from her raging. Mm. And then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Yeah, the disobedient prophet. I hope you get time to read the remaining part of the story. It's good reading. But you know something, as I've contemplated in old Jonah, I have a lot of time for him. He was a man of God. He was a zealous man, zealous for the house of God. He knew God and he knew the ways of God. But he was a backslider. A lot of people don't have time for backsliders. I have time for backsliders because I've backslidden many times myself. Oh yeah, he was a man. Jonah was a man who was mightily used of God. And he was a man to whom God gave a second chance. God is the God of the second chance. Aye, and the third chance, and the fourth chance, and the fifth chance, on and on and on. Oh, God never gives up on his children. Somebody says, I'm divorced. I'll never be used of God again. Nonsense. Now, I'm not recommending divorce by any means at all. But, face it, if you're divorced, move on. Talk to God about it. If you've done the wrong thing and everything, been the cause of it, repent. God will restore you. God will use you. Don't think you're unusable because of sin. Deal with the sin at the cross of Christ and then move on. Yeah. And so God never gives up upon us. So let's look at the story. Jonah, he's the son of Amittai, that means the truth of Jehovah. And God says to him, arise and go. He arise and he arose and fled. He's like so many Christians I know. Well, what do you mean, brother? Well, Jesus said, go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel. But do we? Oh, some do. Thank God for the some that do. But many, many Christians, they're just like Jonah. God says, go. And we say, no. No. Go ye into all the world. The scripture says, husbands, love your wives. But does every Christian do that? No, he backslides in that point. Backslides. Why? Well, we're imperfect. You know, the only perfect person who ever lived, who offered perfect obedience, his name is Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is our hope. And you can fix your faith upon him. Did you hear me? You can fix your faith upon him and be saved. Nineveh, it was the capital of Assyria. They were enemies of Israel. And Jonah didn't want to go there. Oh, why? Well, there's lots of theories about that. People say, well, Jonah really was a flake. Oh, no, he was a rebel. No. He was just a no-good, disobedient prophet. Well, I don't agree with any of those. I have a different theory. Why did he flee? He fled because of his zeal for the house of the Lord, for the people of God. What do you mean, Brother Miles? Well, he was sent to Assyria, to Nineveh in Assyria. Now, what would happen if Jonah didn't preach? Well, Assyria would be destroyed. Nineveh would be destroyed. That's what Jonah wanted. Well, why did he hate the Ninevians? And then whatever they were, the people who lived there. Did he hate them? No, he didn't hate them. But he had a zeal for the house of God. You see, what would happen if he preached and they repented? Well, God wouldn't bring judgment on them and they would grow strong. And then if they grew strong, they would probably invade Israel. So Jonah was astute and he knew the ways of God. And he knew that how God would treat Israel and how he would deal with Nineveh. Jonah was prepared to give his life so that the people of God could live. Wow, does that not sound like Jesus? Jesus gave his life. For who? For his people. He gave his life. He poured out his blood. Are you a believer? He poured out his blood for you. Sister, do you believe that? He poured out his blood for you. Brother, he poured out his blood for you. Ah, yeah, Jesus is our only hope. And so anyway, off Jonah goes, and he goes down to the port, and he finds a ship. Oh, let me tell you, the devil always has a ship waiting to take you out of the will of God. I'll say that again. The devil always has a ship waiting to take you out of the will of God. He finds a ship. And he pays the fare. Yeah. There's always a price attached to backsliding. You know, sin is a costly business. Yeah, you can't calculate it. There's an ancient legend about a wise man, and he made a beautiful chessboard, and he's embedded jewels all around the squares, and the word got to the king, and he said, "I've got to see this." And he went to see it, and he was so impressed he wanted to buy it. And says, "How much do you want?" And the man who created the chessboard said, "Well, I'll tell you what, I'll give you one grain of wheat for the first square and two for the second square. Now, give me two because we're going to double this in each square." So that would mean four grains of wheat for the third square, and then eight and 16 and on and on and on. Well, the king says, "That sounds like good. That's good. How many squares are there?" 64. "Oh, yeah, I can handle that." Well, the king thought he was making a wonderful bargain. But he didn't realize that by the time you got to 20 squares, you were at half a million. 30 squares. Oh, listen, it keeps on going. 40 squares, 5.5 million. Almost impossible to calculate. Why am I telling you that story? Because sin will cost you more than you want to pay. It'll keep you longer than you want to stay. Sin is an expensive business. And so a storm comes. Where's Jonah? He's asleep. Where's the rest of the crew? Well, they're all praying. They're up on deck. They're all praying. But Jonah, he's asleep. He knew there wasn't any point in praying. This guy's a spiritual guy. He knew there wasn't any point in praying. Yeah, no show with this guy. No hypocrisy. He was real. So he goes to sleep. And his disobedience, you see, was causing the storm. So there was no point in him praying, "Oh Lord, remove the storm." Why is there a storm there, Jonah? It's because of you. So he knew that. He knew he was. No point in being a hypocrite and going and praying about it. "Oh Lord, I thank you that you deliver us." You caused it. You caused it. No point in praying. His disobedience was the cause of the storm. So there's no point in praying unless he's prepared to be obedient. Oh. Well, you know how the story goes. Chapter 2. Verse 1, Noah, well, before that, a few verses before that, Jonah eventually is thrown overboard. And in chapter 2, he makes this prayer from the belly of the whale. Oh, you say, "I don't believe in the belly of the whale." Oh, did you know I read that a couple of years back about a Japanese fisherman who fell overboard and was swallowed by a whale and lasted 3 days? This is not Christians. This is just was in the Daily Mail. It lasted. And he got set free. And we, by the way, I said the whale. The Bible doesn't say that Jonah was swallowed by a whale. It says that the Lord created a fish. Yep. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. For the Lord prepared a great fish. God created a special fish to swallow Jonah. But we'll move along. Jonah's thrown overboard. And then he gives this great prayer and it's full of scripture, and it's good to pray like that. But by the way, going back to our original point here, if you're not prepared to be obedient, what's the point in praying? If you've walked out of the will of God, you know it. You're having an illicit affair. No point in praying until you're saying, "Hey Lord, forgive me in Jesus' name," and you repent. Do you hear me? Well, you know, some people spend their time memorizing the Word of God, and I think that's great. I love to try to memorize the Word of God. But if I'm living in open disobedience to the will of God, what's the point in memorizing? What's the point in memorizing? Is Jesus, let me ask you, are you prepared to be obedient to him today? Is he real to you today? Where do you stand with the Lord today? Oh, but I made a great profession of faith 20 years ago. Where are you today? As you know, I'm from Northern Ireland. Okay, and there's a town there in Northern Ireland called Ballymena. And there was a man that lived there, a Christian man. Lots of Christians in Ballymena, by the way. But 25 years earlier, he had had what he called a blessed experience with the Lord. Yep. And it's so wonderful it was that he wrote it all down in a wee booklet, and he called his book The Blessed Experience. And every time he would meet new people, he would give them his blessed experience, give them the little book. And people would come round to his house for fellowship, and he'd give them the book. Okay. The Blessed Experience book. So anyway, one night some people came round, and he said to his wife, says, "Darling, would you go upstairs to the drawer in the bedroom and bring down my blessed experience? Bring it down from that drawer and I'll give the folks a copy." And the woman goes up and then comes down again. "Where's my blessed experience?" She says, "The mice got into the drawer and ate your blessed experience." Oh my, oh my, oh my. Listen, what's your experience today? Do you know the Lord? Are you being obedient to him? Are you following him? Are you serving him? Are you worshiping him? Are you thanking him? Oh, isn't he worthy to be thanked and praised? Because look what he did at the cross. Isn't he wonderful? And then it says, and then spoke God. Chapter 3, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. I love that. It came the second time. What did he say? Well, he said, "Go and do what I told you to do the first time." And why not? Look, God is a God who's always willing to give us a second chance, a third chance, a fourth chance, a fifth chance to come back in to the will of God. Moses. What about him? He was content, it says. He was content to dwell with the man, but he came out of retirement. Peter, remember Peter, he disobeyed the Lord. He not disobeyed him, but he denied the Lord. Did Jesus finish with him? No, he brought him back. How did he do that? Did he speak? What words did he speak? He didn't speak any words. He brought him back with just a look. So let me ask you, have you left your first love? At what point did you leave it? Look, perhaps Jonah's zeal for the house of the Lord was greater than his love for the Lord. Oh, that's a great problem. It really is a great problem. I've met folks who are in movements of God, and they seem to have more time for the movement and the churches than for the Lord Jesus. His zeal, Jonah's zeal for the house of the Lord was greater than his love for the Lord. Jonah was zealous for something which didn't please God. Zealousness for something which God has, as he was getting ready to destroy. And so what was it that caused you to stray from the word which he gave you? Now, I have a wee word of warning. God, by the way, yes, he's the God of the second, the third, the fourth, and all our chances. He's always working with us, always bringing us back. But I have a wee word of warning. God will not continue to speak forever. Do you remember Herod and John the Baptist? And John the Baptist would come before Herod, and John the Baptist would preach, would tell him about his sin, his wickedness. Yeah. And what did Herod eventually do with John the Baptist? He cut his head off. Yeah. And then Jesus was brought before him. Jesus and Herod together. And Herod asked him questions, and Jesus answered him not a word. Did you hear that? Jesus answered him not a word. Why? Because Herod had silenced the voice of God. The voice of God came through John the Baptist, and Herod silenced it. So Jesus answered him not a word. And in doing that, he's saying, God has nothing more to say to you. Wow. Look, God is the God of a second chance. No matter how big your mess, I don't care if you've messed up as a Christian. If you fail God, you can start again. Start again. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God wants to bring us to the place where we parted company with him. Yeah, so Jonah obeyed God and the revival was brought to Nineveh. What an encouragement for some of us who have failed and know that God can restore us and use us mightily. I want to finish this off by saying, Jonah brought the message God had given him. He didn't speak of himself. Just think how in this day and age Jonah could have thrilled everybody if it had been this day and age. He could say, oh yes, here's Jonah's meeting. I was a rebel, I ran, I encountered storms, they threw me overboard, but I got swallowed by big fish and God kept me alive by his power. Jonah could have told that one, but that's not the message he was sent to deliver. Likewise, we've been commissioned to bring the message of the gospel to the lost. We're not commissioned to give our testimonies. I'm sure I'm giving your testimonies helpful now and again, but some people, that's all they want to do, give their testimony. No, the gospel is not my testimony, not how bad I was and how saved I feel. No, the gospel is the good news of the doing, dying, and resurrection and exaltation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the gospel truth. Thank you so much for listening today. If spiritually I can be of help, email me, miles@milesmckee.com. Miles, that's M-I-L-E-S. You can visit our website at milesmckee.com. And we have a Wednesday Word Goes Out, gospel-packed Wednesday Word. Goes over to over 3,000 people at the moment. Get letters from literally quite across the world. And you're welcome to subscribe to it. Just drop me an email and say subscribe, and I'll subscribe you. So listen, thanks very much. If this has been a blessing to you, please forward it. If it hasn't been a blessing, just keep quiet. But please forward to your friends and family. God bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.